Well, it's good to see each and every one of you this morning, and we appreciate the very good words that the brothers already brought to our minds. Appreciate the prayer. Ask a continued interest in your prayers as we stand before you.
Yeah.
You know, I've been a Primitive Baptist now for well over 43 years, and I can remember years ago, before I ever began preaching, when I would just get my family together and we'd go to the house of the Lord, and we were members of the Blue Ridge Church in Chatsworth, and we either heard Elder Lloyd Parker, or whenever the Blue Ridge Church wasn't meeting, we'd hear Elder Joe Hildreth or Elder Ralph Howell. All three are passed on now and gone to be with the Lord. But we'd go hear them preach the gospel. And I had little kids like you have here, and I'd always try to make sure that my little children would get something out of going to church and sitting there and listening to the preacher. So I'd tell them before we get there, I said, now I want you to listen to what the preacher has to say this morning, because after it's over and we're driving home, I'm going to ask you some questions about what he preached. So I want you to listen, encouraging them to pay attention to what's being said. So, the funny thing about it, most of the time when I'd ask them, well, what did the preacher preach this morning? They'd say, well, he preached about God. I'd say, well, that's good. You're right, he did do that. But what specifically did he say about God? Well, he said he was Jesus. So this morning, when I get through, if you little children, your parents ask you what was preached this morning, you can tell them he preached about Jesus, because that's what I'm going to endeavor to preach to you this morning. When I think of Jesus and I think what he's called, I always like to refer to him as the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's all three. He's the Lord, he's Jesus, and he's the Christ. Well, what's the difference in those? Well, he's the Lord because for every single born again child of God, he is the Lord of their life. He is within them and he leads them and he guides them. Some are fortunate enough to get themselves into the true visible church. Some are not so fortunate, but yet Christ is still within them and he is their Lord. What does it mean for Christ to be our Lord? Well, for Christ to be our Lord means that you are a follower of Jesus. He is set down in scriptures the way we ought to live our lives, the way we ought to pattern ourselves toward others and our families, how we ought to love one another. All these things are things that Christ has given us instructions in his word to follow him and to pattern our lives after the pattern that he set for the 33 years he lived here upon this earth. That's what it means for him to be Lord. Now, what does Jesus mean? Jesus was his name. Why was his name Jesus? Well, his name was Jesus because God named him Jesus. You see, when Joseph found out that Mary was with child, An angel appeared unto him and said, Fear not, Joseph, to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived within her is of the Holy Ghost. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why Jesus? Because Jesus means Savior. And when he was named Jesus, he was the Savior of sinners. That's what Jesus means. The Savior of sinners. And he did exactly that when God the Father sent him here to this earth. He went to the cross and saved every last one that God the Father had given to him in a covenant of grace before the world was. Jesus was his name. He was the Savior. Christ. What does Christ mean? Christ means the Messiah. Christ means the promised one that the prophets had prophesied of, that would one day come and redeem all that God the Father gave to the Son in a covenantal grace before the world was.
Yes.
And as Christ, he was the Messiah. Lord, he's the Lord of our life. Jesus, the Savior of sinners. Christ, the Messiah, the one sent by God the Father to redeem us and to give us a home in heaven and immortal glory.
Yeah.
Now this morning I want to center my thoughts, the Lord being my helper, on the Lordship of Jesus, or the Lordship of Christ. And we want to start over here in the book of Revelations. Now, you know, a lot of people try to take the book of Revelations and they try to make it too complex. It's not that complex. It's God's Word. And it's God's Word to His children here in this world. And he tells us some things that John saw that God revealed to him and allowed him to pen for us. And in chapter 19, he talks about the marriage of the Lamb. You see, there's coming a time when Jesus is going to leave. Where he's at right now, seated there at the right hand of the throne of God. He's coming down, and there's going to be a marriage between all that God the Father gave to the Son, Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world. A marriage between them as the bride and Jesus Christ as the bridegroom. And it speaks of this in the 19th chapter. But what I want to reference here is two particular verses that John saw or heard from a multitude of people that were coming from the throne of God. These multitude of people were God's children. I believe at the marriage of the Lamb, when Jesus comes down as the bridegroom and marries the church, the triumphant church of Jesus Christ, and carries them all to heaven. Two scriptures that use that word Lord. Let's look at them. Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. There it is, the Lord our God. He is our Lord. He is our God. And whenever this occurs, all of God's children, they're not going to be like they are today. Some of them believe in salvation by works. Some of them believe in salvation by grace. They're going to all hear say, salvations of the Lord. And they're going to give him praise and honor and glory. glory for the salvation that he brought to them alone, not as a result of anything they've done. All are going to say hallelujah to the Lord God. The Lordship of Jesus Christ our Lord. A little further down in this same scripture, and you can go home this afternoon and read this chapter if you'd like. He's going to say here and in verse 6, "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." The Lord God omnipotent. What does that word omnipotent mean? That means all power. He has all power both in heaven and in earth. And none can stay his hand nor say unto him, What doest thou? For he is God, and beside him there is none other. But these people were praising God. They were saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And you know, our country, I'm concerned about the direction it's turning.
Yeah.
All the violence that's occurring, where people just destroy somebody's business and go in and loot and take. I saw people just going into a Target, bringing out big screen TVs and just stacking them up there just for somebody to take home at will. No concern, no thought at all for law and order. And even the police didn't do anything to stop them. Now they're calling for to eliminate the police. I can't even imagine what it is. You know, I was watching the news one night and seeing all that was going on in these big cities, and I was thinking about that little community in Chatsworth that I live in, and I was just thinking, just suppose they wanted to come right down this street and throw a Molotov cocktail and burn down my house. Who would protect me? Now they want to get rid of the sheriff and the police. I'd have no one to protect me. What is the world coming to?
Right.
What are they looking for? What do they want? They want lawlessness. They want to just do whatever they want to do, and they don't want to have to work for it. They want to take it from somebody else. The world is waxing worse and worse, and I'm concerned for my grandchildren.
Yeah.
To face a world such as that we face. These people were crying out, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The only comfort I can get is from that scripture right there. God rules and reigns over this earth.
Yeah.
He's promised never to leave me nor forsake me. And I'm like the children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yes.
You may throw me in the fire may consume me, but God will deliver me out on the other side.
Yes.
We have a promise from God that we can count on. Yes, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. We want to take a look at some scriptures this morning that concern the fact that the Lord is, that Jesus is the Lord of our lives. We want to start over here about something that happened. Jesus and some of his disciples were moving about preaching the gospel, and they came to a certain time. It was on the Sabbath day. You hear me? It was on the Sabbath day. And they were Pharisees or legalists of that day who thought they knew everything. They knew all there was. And they were looking. They sort of remind me of some of the politicians of the day in which we live. You know, our president can do something good. It can be something that's good for this country or good to the people of this country. And those that oppose him will do all they can to make it look bad. Well, here was Jesus, him and his disciples. They were hungry. They needed food. It was God that provided the food. So they went into a cornfield and they started stripping the ears of corn and rubbing it in their hands and eating the corn. It was on the Sabbath. It was on the Sabbath. So he was criticized here by some for doing this on the Sabbath. Let's see what it says here. Chapter 6 of the book of Luke. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfield, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answered them, saying, have ye not read so much as this? Now see, he was turning the tables on them here. They thought the world of King David. They thought King David did no wrong. And so Jesus reminds them of something that King David did. Have you not read so much as this? What David did when himself was a hungered, and they which were with him, how that he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread and gave them to them which were with him, which it was not lawful to eat but for the priest alone.
Yeah.
I mean, you could accuse anybody of anything on the Sabbath day. You'd say, you're breathing on the Sabbath day. You're not supposed to breathe. Is it wrong to do good on the Sabbath day? I don't think so. So Jesus said, reminds them of the time David went into the and took the showbread that was only lawful for the priest to eat and fed himself and those that were with him. And then he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Yeah. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. I'll give you a perfect example of it. Now under the law service, and we're not under the law service, the Sabbath was on the last day of the week, which according to our calendar is Saturday. But under the New Testament age, the Sabbath is the first day of the week. Why did it change? Jesus said right there, he was Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus changed it. He rose again on the first day. Therefore, it's not the last day of the week that we do our service to God, although us Primitive Baptists sometimes meet on Saturday and have some pretty good meetings on Saturday. Doesn't matter which day it is to us. If it's meeting together to praise the Lord, we're welcome to it and welcome for it. But the Lord is but Jesus, the Son of Man, is the Lord of the Sabbath. But we meet together on the first day of the week. Why? Because Jesus came forth on the first day of the week. And we're here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We're doing it today. It's not Easter. We don't wait till Easter to do it. We do it every single Sunday. We separate ourselves to meet together to worship the Lord on the first day of the week because he rose from the grave, giving us victory over death, hell, and the grave. Yes, Jesus says, as the Son of Man, he was the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lordship of our Savior Jesus Christ. We'll find in the book of Acts a scripture that says this. It says this about the Lord. It says, He was both Lord and Christ. He's the Lord over our lives. He's the Christ, the Messiah, the one that came to redeem us from our sins. Verse 36 here of Acts chapter 2 says this. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. God hath made him both Lord and Christ. Then he says, Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now I'm going to stop right there on that 38th verse, because there's actually a religion today. This premise upon what Acts chapter 2 verse 38 says. And they take that scripture right there and they say that baptism is necessary for remission of sins. But that scripture does not say that. It does not say that. There was a man one time, he was in the Baptist faith, that preached that was talking about baptism. And they tried to deal with him. And he wouldn't have anything to do with it. So he got turned out of the Baptist church. And he started a religion of his own. And it still exists today. It still exists today. Primarily premised on this one scripture. When Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, let me stop right there. That does not say baptism is for the remission of your sins. It says to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, who is the one that remitted your sins, not baptism. So, you gotta rightly divide the word of truth. You gotta see where remission of sins come from. It's not what you do. It's not baptism. It's not joining the church. It's not anything that you can think of that you've done since you've been born again. It's none of that. Peter said, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. Who is it to? All that the Lord shall call. And every one of you children that have been born of the Spirit of God have been called from death unto life by God Himself, not because of anything you've done, but because God loved you in all eternity, chose you and elected you, and sent Jesus to redeem you on the cross. Yes, the Lord God made him both Lord and Christ, the Lordship of our Jesus. We'll find a little further over in the book of Acts. It says that God exalted him to be a prince and a savior. That's found in Acts chapter 5. And it says that in verse 31. Let's just read that verse. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. God hath made him to be a prince and a savior. A prince. What kind of prince is he? He's the Prince of Peace. He is that. The brother mentioned that in his introduction. He is that. That is between us and God. That reconciles fallen sinners such as we are with a just and holy God. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. He, by what he did, he, by who he was, made peace between fallen sinners such as we are and a just and holy God. And when Jesus looks at you, little child of God, he doesn't see you in your own righteousness. He sees you in the perfect, imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that is given to and imputed within every single born-again child of God.
Amen.
Yes. God exalted him to be a prince and a savior. The Prince of Peace between us and God, our mediator, our intercessor, our one that God is able to view us in a positive way because of who he is and what he's done for us. A Savior. He came to save sinners. And he did. He went to the cross and he offered himself to God in behalf of poor, ruined, and condemned sinners, all that God the Father gave to him in a covenant of grace before the world was. Yes, God exalted him on his right hand to be a prince and a savior. He's our Lord, the lordship of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In the book of Romans, we'll find a scripture that tells us that our confession of him, of Jesus, as our Lord, and our following him and the example that he set for us in his word, and in our obedience unto him and his commandments, brings to us a salvation.
Yeah.
But it's not the new birth. It's a salvation that comes to every single born again child of God that becomes a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll find in the book of Romans, it says here in verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Yeah.
Now that particular scripture is not speaking of a dead alien sinner confessing Christ in order to be born again. That is speaking of a child of God that's already been dealt with by God. Jesus has already come into his heart and he needs salvation as he travels here in this world. And if he'll confess that Jesus is the Lord of his life, he'll experience salvation and joy of the eternal life that God has given him while he travels here in this world. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a timely salvation that the child of God who follows Jesus and makes him the Lord over their life, that they'll experience here in this world. How then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? Or how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Yes, there's a salvation, a timely salvation to the born-again child of God that will confess Christ as his Lord and Savior and follow him and make the life that Jesus lived, as recorded for us in the scriptures and the commandments he gives us, a joyful life that you live here in this world until Christ comes back and takes you to heaven. Yes, salvation that comes from confessing Jesus as our Lord, the Lordship of Jesus Christ our Lord. We'll see a scripture in the book of 1 Corinthians. It says, God hath called us into the fellowship of our Lord. In verse 9 there of chapter 1 it says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We were called out of nature's darkness into the fellowship of Jesus Christ our Lord. He is our Lord. He is the Savior. He is indeed the Messiah that went to the cross and paid the sin debt for us. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no disputing among you, but ye are perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Yes, indeed. God has called us into the fellowship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is indeed our Savior. He is indeed the one that God the Father sent to this world to redeem us from our sin. We'll find also in the book of 1 Corinthians, he said to be one Lord, by whom are all things. One Lord. We have one of our articles of faith. We believe in one true and living God. There's God the Father, God the Word, and God the Holy Spirit. 1 John 5 verse 7 says, we believe in the three in one God. We believe that there's three that bear record in heaven. God the Father, God the Word, God the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. This scripture tells me that he is one Lord, one Lord over the children of God. Chapter 8 of the book of 1 Corinthians. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. Right. And then he says in verse 3, this is very important, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. Now listen to that. If any man love God, the same, that is the man that loves God, the same is known of him. If you love God, that's because you were known of him before, even before the foundation of the world, as the brother said in the introduction. God knew you. God knew that you were a sinner before there was ever a sinner. And this scripture says it, if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning therefore the eating of those things which are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. There's only one God. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there are gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. One Lord, by whom are all things. Book of 1 John begins out like this. In the beginning was the Word. What Word was that? That's the Word that just said, there's three that bear record in heaven. God the Father, God the Word, God the Holy Spirit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And if you read on down into this, you'll see in verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and came and dwelt among us. That Word is Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Yes, he's one Lord, by whom are all things. All things were made by him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Yes, there was Jesus Christ, one Lord, as he says. For unto us there is but one God, the Father, of whom one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we by him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Yes, the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed, he is one Lord. We'll also find over in the book of Ephesians, it refers to him as one Lord. Chapter 4, we began there at verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Lord. He's the only Lord. One faith. It's that faith that was once delivered unto the saints. No other faith. Many people have created many different faiths in this world, but there's only one faith. That's the faith of the finished and completed work of Jesus Christ for the salvation of all God's children that God the Father gave to the Son before the world was. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that's why as old Baptists we don't accept other baptisms. There's only one. That's the one that's baptized under the true, visible church with the proper authority. No other baptism can be accepted. There's only one baptism, and it has to be that proper baptism. Amen, amen, amen. One Lord, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. I like the way that ends there. one Father. It says there's one God and Father of all, who is above all, who is through all, and who is in you all, in every single born again child of God. Yes, indeed, the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is indeed our Lord. Going back over now to our text, we see in the book of Revelation, as it's as John saw this multitude of people that God the Father loved and sent Jesus to save, they're here declaring Him to be the Lord, Himself. Where they say from where that voice comes from the throne there that says, this multitude of people, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The Lordship of Christ. We saw this morning as the Lord of the Sabbath. Yes, Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. As they criticized Him and His apostles for plucking the ears of corn for food and eating the corn on the Sabbath day. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. The Lord Jesus, the God of God the Father, has made Him both Lord and Christ. He's the Lord of our lives. He's the Christ, the Messiah of our lives. He's Jesus because He's the Savior. And Jesus is His name, which means Savior. God has exalted Him with His right hand to be a prince and a Savior. Yes, He's the Prince of Peace. He's that bridges the gap between fallen, sinful man and a just and holy God. He's that bridges that gap. He is the Prince of Peace, giving us as sinners peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's Prince and He's Savior. He saved us from our sins on the tree of the cross, not because of anything you've done, but because of what He did for us. We are saved to go to heaven. God exalted Him there to be Prince and Peace. Our confession of Him as the Lord of our lives will experience salvation here in time as we travel and enjoy this eternal life that God the Father has given to us in a covenant of grace before the world was. He is our Lord, and if He is our Lord, then we are His children, and He is indeed our Lord by what God has done for us, and we are His children because of God choosing us and electing us before the foundation of the world. He is one Lord by whom are all things. We saw that no man can say that he is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Man's got to have the Spirit of God within him in order for him to say that Jesus is the Lord of his life. Yes, He's one Lord. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Yes, we believe in one true and living God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. Yes, the Lordship of Christ. Yes, you children can say this morning, Brother Heron preached on Jesus as our Lord, as Jesus the Savior, and as Christ the Messiah, the Son of the living God. I thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.